Tayetam avirata purusha paricharyaya bhagavati pravardhavana nuragavara druta vidaya saithilya praharsha viganatmane upedjamana rama pulaka kulaka otkhancha pravrita pranaya Vashpa nirudhava loka nayana hevam nija ramanaruna charanaravindanu jana parichitta bhakti yogena paripluta paramalada gambira vidya radhava gada dishanastamapi Kriyamanam Bhagavat Saparyam Na Sasmara. So you can repeat. Taya. By that. Itam. In this manner. Avirata. Constant. Purusha. Of the Supreme Lord. Paricharyaya, by service, Bhagavati, unto the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Pravardhamana, constantly increasing, Anuraga, of attachment, Mara, by the load, Druta, melted. Hridaya, heart. Shaitilya, laxity. Praharsha vigena, by the force of transcendental ecstasy. Atmane, in his body. Ubidjamana Roma Pulaka Kulakaha standing of the hair on end. O Kancha, because of intense longing. Pravrita, produced. Pranaya Pashpa Niruda Avaloka Nayanaha. Awakening of tears of love in the eyes. Obstructing the vision. Evam. Thus. Nija Ramana Arana Charanaravinda. On the Lord's reddish lotus feet. Anujana. By meditating. Parichitta. Increased. Bhakti yogena. By dint of devotional service. Pariplutta. Spreading everywhere. Parama, highest. Alhada, of spiritual bliss. Gambhira, very deep. Hridaya, in the heart, which is compared to a lake. Avagada, immersed. Dishanaha, whose intelligence, tam, that, api, although, kriyamanam, executing, bhagavat, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, saparyan, the worship, na, not. Sasmara, remembered. Translation, that most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bharata, in this way engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudeva, Krishna, increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulative duties. The hairs of his body stood on end, and all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes, so much so that he could not see anything. Thus, he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulated service to the Lord. So you can repeat. That most exalted devotee, Maharaj Bharata, in this way engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. Naturally, his love for Vasudeva Krishna increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he gradually lost all attachment for regulative duties. The hairs of his body stood on end. And all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes. So much so that he could not see anything. Thus he constantly meditated on the reddish lotus feet of the Lord. At that time, his heart, which was like a lake, was filled with the water of ecstatic love. When his mind was immersed in that lake, he even forgot the regulative service to the Lord. So purport by his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. When one is actually advanced in ecstatic love for Krishna, 8 transcendental blissful symptoms are manifest in the body. Those are the symptoms of perfection arising from loving service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Since Maharaj Bharata was constantly engaged in devotional service, all the symptoms of ecstatic love were manifest in his body. Okay, so Om Gana. Tamirandasya Gananjana Shrakaya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So it's interesting. Before it describes his ecstatic symptoms in this purport, in the verse, it says he was engaged constantly in the devotional service of the Lord. So that means the platform of what we call nishta. There's a whole progressive march of devotional service, a hierarchy of devotional service, beginning with the Dosrata, with initial faith, initial interest, tata saru sango ta bhajana kriya, that is associated with the devotees, engaged in bhajana kriya, the regulated principles of devotional service. And then as you engage in the devotional service, nartha devriti shat, you get rid of the anarthas, the unwanted things in the heart, like kama, krodha, matsarya, mada matsarya, bari, abaya, lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, all those wonderful things that we cherish that are very dear to us. Lust, anger, greed, and also lamentation and mundane emotions, bhava rog, that we were describing the other day. We're very attached to our emotions. Anyway, so an artivritti shot, and then when one engages in an artivritti, the anarthas are those things which interfere with one's constant engagement in the devotional service of the Lord. That's what actually interferes. It's interesting. It's interesting to analyze it in that way. That constant devotional service means to engage 24 hours a day in the Lord's service, day and night. So when you have an anartha, it actually interferes with that. Like if you start lamenting, if you start being fearful because you're thinking that Krishna's not protecting you, if you start being lusty, of course it's lust, whew, you certainly forget devotional service. Just like I have experience when I'm dealing with disciples or other people who fall in love, because they call it love, when Cupid hits their little tiny heart, then I just step out of the way because there ain't nothing I can say at that point. Even Chanaka Pandit says you become between a man and his wife, because at that time things were much more chaste. But now you say between a boy and a girl, or a man and a woman, and even you could say between two men, or between two women, then you become the enemy of both. That means, because there's so much immersed in this illusion of lust, so much immersed, that they can't listen to reason. And anybody who tells them anything reasonable becomes their enemy. That's the problem. Anyway, so the point I'm making is the anarthas interfere with the steady execution of devotional service. Any of those anarthas. Fear, lust, greed, I must have it. Just like I've seen with this different internet things. Like let's take the example of Amazon.com. That they have a service that you sign up for. You pay like $80 a year or something like that. And you can get anything you order, even if it's a $1 item, you get it within 2 days with free shipping. You know, so people are signing up for it. And it, you know, you're thinking, wow, this is a good deal. You know, $80, 2 days free shipping of anything you buy. But what you don't understand is that when you have this, like, carrot dangling in front of you, 2 days free shipping, and you're just looking, shipping, you know, just looking on the internet and going through the pages, wow, I could use this, I could use that, use a new scarf. Not, because that's not my problem. So I could use a new computer, I could use new glasses or whatever, use a new bed. 2 days free shipping, you know, then it can be right there for me. Because, I mean, that's how all these companies like UPS and FedEx have made a lot of money, because they offer this shipping, you know, you can get next day shipping, and you can even trace out where your little goodie is coming or when it's coming. So anyway, so that's greed. Lust, anger, greed, illusion. Thinking you're the body, envy. Envy is a big one. We don't understand how much it's affecting us. You know, when someone else seems to have more mercy from Krishna than we do, we get envious of them, someone gets more attention from Krishna, the guru, or someone dresses the deities when we wanted to dress the deities, and they dress them better than us. Can you imagine that? You know, it's really, just look at the deities and say, oh, that person dressed better than me. Anyway, I've seen that happen. I've seen one lady get so angry that someone else dressed the deities, she threw her bead bag away. She went on the porch and just went, wee, wee. And it was like the star pitcher in the New York Yankees. Yeah, anyway. So, and you know, what to speak of anger, because we're so damn frustrated. So all these things interfere with the steady progress of devotional service, or constant engagement, as it's described here. So once you get rid of most of the anarthas, they're like the monkeys on your back. I mean, like you think you know, people have all these pets, and they think they give them happiness and everything like that. Some people have monkey pets. Some people have tarantula pets. Some people, like just the other day, devotees were describing how they have mice in their house. And I was saying, you know, if you catch the mice, bring them to me. I'd like to have a little mouse pet. You know, so, but then, can you imagine that our attraction is like that? We get a pet and it passes stool all over the place. And we think this is cute. Anyway, so getting back to the point, when one actually gets rid of most of these anarthas, then one gets to the point of nishta, steadiness, which is what's mentioned here. After nishta, of course, what's mentioned here is also his love for Vasudeva Krishna increased more and more. That means ruchi. After nishta, there's ruchi. And melted his heart. And after the heart gets melted, you lose all attachment for regulative duties. That doesn't mean you start breaking the regulative principles. We have to understand. The example is given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita about Gopa Kumar, that one time he just fainted in ecstasy, and he came out of the fainting spell about a few hours later when it was nighttime, and he was lamenting, I didn't finish my rounds. In other words, he was in so much ecstasy that, you know, he was unconscious. Obviously, you don't usually chant when you're unconscious. Or he was conscious of Krishna, but there was no external consciousness. It's not that spiritual ecstasy means you become unconscious. That's a misunderstanding it's a Mayavadi misunderstanding, that it means you just like become unconscious. But you're fully conscious, and you may become stunned. But the stun, when you're stunned, you're actually absorbed also in Krishna and Krishna's service, at least in your mind. Your body is stunned. These are external things. But your consciousness is actually absorbed in Krishna. Or even when a pure devotee is sleeping, they're not sleeping, they're resting, they're dreaming of Krishna. They're planning out some service to Krishna, doing something for Krishna in their dreams. Or having a dream of the spiritual master, like Srila Prabhupada had this dream of his spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was beckoning to him, you know, come, take sannyas, leave. And Prabhupada said in that dream he was horrified. But this is a pastime of Srila Prabhupada. So anyway, so that's engagement 24 hours a day, and then the ruchi, and then ultimately you come to the point after that, you say, increased more and more and melted his heart. Consequently, he lost all attachment for regulative duties. Then you get to the, what's called the bhavas. The hairs of his body stood on end. So there's a whole progressive description here in this particular purport. And all the ecstatic bodily symptoms were manifest. Tears flowed from his eyes so much so that he could not see anything. I've seen people cry like that in this world because of mundane lamentation, and they couldn't see anything anyway. Their eyes swelled up. But so you understand sometimes by watching a materialist what spiritual symptoms, at least externally, are like. So anyway, so what I did, I have this whole point. This whole description comes from the course that I gave in the Madhurya Kadambini by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, these of bhava and the preliminary things that come before bhava. Hmm. So the definition of bhava, which is here, is, this is a little technical, is the immature budding stage of Swarupa Shakti. Now, let me describe what Swarupa Shakti, it's not Sarupa, it's Swarupa. Swarupa means your form, Swarupa. Rupa means body, it means form, and in this particular case it means one's spiritual form in the spiritual world, because all of us have spiritual bodies that are dormant. They're in a state of suspended animation, and they've been in the state of suspended animation for God knows how many years. Suspended animation means that someone, anyway, is unconscious. So our spiritual body is there, it just hasn't been, let's say, awakened. That's interesting. And so sva rupa means one's own form, one's own body. And shakti means potency. It also means the form and potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is composed of three aspects, the sandhani, samvit, and lajani. These are the three aspects of the transcendental potency of the Lord. Sandhani means the existential potency, that which maintains the transcendental realm, or maintains the transcendental pastimes. And, of course, that's under the jurisdiction of Balaram, the sandhani. And samvit means the cognitive potency, that by which one understands things, is aware of things, cognition. Your cognition means to be aware of things. And then ladini means the enjoyment. Mm-hmm. The Lord's pleasure potency, which is personified by Srimati Radharani. So here's some descriptions. Some of these are from the Nectar of Devotion. And some are from the Vidagdha Madhava. So this bhakti begins to manifest. The real bhakti that one has, the transcendental bhakti. By transcendental, I mean anyabhi lashita shunyam jnana karma navritam. The bhakti which is not mixed with a desire for liberation or sense gratification or trying to enjoy mystic powers or anything in this world, that pure bhakti begins to manifest from bhava. So bhava is like the soil, the dirt from which the flower manifests. You understand? The flower, bhakti is like the flower that is coming from the soil. You had to use the word soil. The soil usually means something dirty. But the ground of bhava. And according to the Nectar of Devotion, when the Nectar of Devotion describes the qualities of pure devotional service, remember the six qualities of pure devotional service? Nobody remembers the six qualities. Immediately relieved from all distress, right? And so one of the six qualities, it's rarely achieved. So bhava is connected with that particular quality. The devotional service or bhava, the platform of bhava, is very rarely achieved. So because each one of those qualities of pure devotional service, like all auspicious, immediate relief from all distress, it's only the means of attracting Krishna, devotees to cry, liberation, brings transcendental happiness, rarely achieved. I did mention all six of them. So bhava specifically manifests, or this rarely achieved is in reference to bhava. You understand? Very, very rare. And also, there's two qualities that manifest in bhava. It's rarely achieved, and at bhava you deride liberation. Those two qualities are manifest when one reaches bhava. I mean, of course, even in the immature stage, we're making fun of impersonalists. But, in a sense, we want liberation too. We want to get out because we're suffering so much in this material world. We want to get the hell out of here, right? So we're not really deriding liberation in our hearts. Externally, we maybe say, oh, that liberation, kaivalya navakayate, is simply hell. But actually, that would be a good idea if I was liberated. We get out of here, it's so miserable. In the winter, it's cold. In the summer, it's hot. And then you get the miseries from other living devotees. Then you got the miseries from your own mind. Oh, you never know when in the morning, when you wake up, what state your mind is going to be in. I mean, you're just living with your enemy, basically. And it's not your brain, because the mind is more subtle. But you just, wow. Time of the month, whatever. So we would pretty much like liberation. But in bhava, you're experiencing so much happiness. Yeah, I don't want to end liberation. So those particular qualities of pure devotional service become let's say, fully manifest in the stage of bhava, that you're deriding liberation, and it's rarely achieved. It's very rare. Okay. And so bhava, another quality of bhava, is that it's, this is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's description, is that the fragrance of bhava, I mean, he's very poetic in his descriptions, like a metaphor. So, the fragrance of bhava causes Krishna to appear. So sometimes in bhava you get a glimpse of Krishna. That means a fragrance of bhava. That means, I'll give you a practical example of that. History is that when Narada Muni was wandering after his mother passed away, he saw Krishna just for one time. And that sort of increased his intensity. So that means bhava, and that increases intensity of meditation. So therefore he eventually achieved prema and became the great Narada Muni. When he was I'm describing that when he was the son of a maidservant. I mean, you can imagine what it is. If you see Krishna once, you would definitely remember it the rest of your life, right? I mean, if Krishna just walks in the room here, and of course none of you could see him, but probably me neither. So if Krishna just walked in the room, it's something you wouldn't forget. I mean, you'd take your camera out, take some pictures. Of course, you'd take a picture and it wouldn't show up on the picture because Krishna doesn't have a material body. So anyway, another description given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and this is really interesting, at least to me, that the emotions of the heart, this is very poetic, become like sesame oil smeared on Krishna's limbs. I mean, try to picture that. Like sesame oil, the emotions, and I would take it to be like warm sesame oil, not cold sesame oil. And you're massaging Krishna's limbs with sesame oil. And your eyes start turning towards Vrajendranandana. And you're hankering, another symptom, Bhava. We're not getting to the Ashtasattvika Bhavas, which Prabhupada makes reference to in the purport. Then your mind starts hankering for hearing Krishna's flute, anklets, and voice. And that's similar to Bhaktivinoda Thakur's poem, Kabhi Habhi Bolo Se Dinamar. Intense hankering. Of course, Rupa Goswami says that lalyam means that hankering, either materially or spiritually, is the price of pure devotional service. Or as Prabhupada put it in his own words, the tears are the price of pure devotional service. Prabhupada was sort of explaining Srila Rupa Goswami's statement in a way that we can understand it. Tears, you know, crying for Krishna. And then the symptoms of bhava become manifest, which we'll mention in a second. Your intelligence becomes fixed, and then you start to understand your siddha deha. So this is all what Bhart Maharaj is experiencing right now. I'm just trying to give you the scenario or his consciousness, some idea of what his consciousness was at this point. Yeah, you start to glimpse your siddha, or enter. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur specifically uses the word enter. Of course, your siddha deha is always you. It's not that you're different from it, like you're different from this material body. You say, well, you entered your body, you left your body. But enter in the sense of realizing, you know, coming awake. You know, your spiritual sense comes awake. So you begin to understand who you are. And, of course, there's the different aspects that are connected with the spiritual body, which is, you know, how old you are in the spiritual world. You know, this is all connected with understanding and seeing your spiritual body. You know, what you dress like, how old you are, what color hair you have, what your relationship is with Krishna. All these things are intimately connected with the spiritual body. Because the spiritual body is not just like a fantastic body like Superman's body or something like that. But it's a body in relationship to service to Krishna. Does everyone understand that point? It's not that you just see, oh, that's my spiritual body, and you forget Krishna. But the spiritual body is very much connected with your ras, or the taste of the relationship. Rati is the word for relationship, and ras is the word for taste that you have from a relationship. So your rasa begins to awaken at this point. Wow, I'm a cow. Or whatever. Moo. No. No, you don't do that, obviously. Because you don't show these things externally. You know, it's not that you say, well, Bhagavatam, I'm glad you just say, well, yesterday I realized I was a cockroach in the spiritual world. No, you don't do that. So your rasa awakens, but in the beginning it's just like a glimpse. So in the beginning, it's so interesting how Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes it. You think you're hallucinating.
Wow.
You understand? You actually think, you know, what's going on here, you know? It's not really like fully manifest at that point. So you think, this is an hallucination, you know? That I'm a cow? Or I'm a gopi, or I'm a coward boy, or I'm an elderly gopi, or I'm one of Krishna's older friends or younger friends. I mean, it's all these, there's so much variety. It's not just these five different varieties. I mean, even amongst the gopis, there's Manjari gopis, and there's amongst Krishna's friends, there's friends who are older than him, same age, close friends. Anyway, there's so many different varieties. So you just glimpse this, and it's not constant at that point. So you're thinking, I'm hallucinating. I mean, obviously, I mean, if I saw Krishna come in the room right now, I would think I was hallucinating. It'd be like that movie, A Beautiful Mind. I don't know if you ever saw that movie. Where someone had schizophrenia, and he was seeing people that didn't exist. So I would think, you know, I better take some medicine. You know, really, that would be my first impression. Because, you know, naturally a devotee is humble. That's the point. And so when you see Krishna, you don't think, I mean, a humble devotee is not going to think, wow, I got it made now. I see Krishna. You think, you know, this is... You know, I've been going to Bhagavatam class too many times, you know. Time to eat more. So, too much austerity. So he thinks he's hallucinating in attaining Krishna. And then that's alternating with depression. Because then Krishna disappears. As I say, it's not constant. That, you know, you see Krishna and Krishna winks at you. And where'd he go? Then you get hung, get depressed, you know. Oh, what's happened to me? So it alternates with depression. And then he develops a sense of possessiveness. You know, Krishna is mine. Previously in devotional service, in the previous stages, you're thinking that I belong to Krishna. But then when you get more intimate, and the more intimate rasas, of course, Then you develop a sense of possessiveness in relationship to Krishna. Krishna's mind. And then another thing in Bhava is the devotee, who is actually in Bhava, tries to hide his symptoms. He tries his best to hide, but, you know, his face is revealing. Like you see with Srila Prabhupada, you know, if you ever were close with Prabhupada, you could see the symptoms of ecstasy. Or even hear the symptoms of ecstasy in Prabhupada's voice. If you listen very carefully to Prabhupada's bhajans, chanting of Hare Krishna, you can hear the symptoms. You have to really listen extremely carefully. I mean, it's not, you know, normally we don't listen so carefully. We just hear the beating of the cartels or the drum and we go like... You know, we respond in a physical way. Just like yesterday, I was listening to the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and in the interludes, sometimes they have like modern music there. You ever heard that? Like in the interlude between one and another, they had this song, Here Comes the Sun. So, you know, here comes the sun. So we get into the external aspects of the music. And then sometimes we ignore or we're not aware of what's happening with the pure devotee who is doing the chanting. So if you listen, but you really have to focus on it. I mean, it's not that it's just so obvious for us conditioned souls. But you listen, you hear Prabhupada just like the bhava in Prabhupada's voice. I mean, you know, there's some shaking there, there's tears in the voice. I mean, it's really, the pure devotee's ecstasy is actually manifested in transcendental sound. Because, I mean, you can sometimes control your facial features, but the voice is actually, the voice manifests more of one's consciousness. Just like now, you know, I have a little cold, so you can hear it in my voice, and I can't control it. You know, I'd like to control it, you know, but I have no control of these things. That's not a symptom of ecstasy, it's a little cold. So, Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur says a devotee tries to hide it, but it's revealed in his face or in his voice even more so. And that's why I said we should listen to Prabhupada with great attention. And when really someone gets immersed in bhava, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says the common people think that he's mad. But an advanced devotee can actually see through. So there are two types of bhava. It's really interesting. And we'll have to figure out what type Bart Maharaj is exhibiting. One type of bhava comes from Ragmarg, and the other one comes from Vidimarg. Vidimarg means rules and regulations, and Ragmarg means from spontaneity. Actually, this is also Rag. Rag is mentioned here in this verse. Where is that? There's one word I remember hearing Rag when we did the word-by-word translations. Anyway, so from Ragmarg, let's do Vidimarg first. Vidimarg is actually bhava is lesser in quality and quantity. Quantity means how many times it manifests itself. Quality means like just how, let's say, how dynamic a manifestation is of bhava. It's based on reverence. Oh my Lord, like this. Oh, there's my Lord, which is nice. I mean, I'm not decrying that. But it's not so thick. And it's always, in Vidimarg, the Lord is always on a higher level than one. But then in Ragmarg, the bhava is described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur as very thick and intense. And you think the Lord is either on an equal level or a lower level from you. Anyway, these are interesting descriptions. This is all from Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Maybe we just continue this description tomorrow, because I didn't really get very far, because I was just commenting on Srila Prabhupada's purport and the verse here. All right, on that happy note, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.